When I was a kid, I loved this book called The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Who am I kidding? I still love that book. It wasn't just as a kid. It tells the story of these four kids, Edmund, Peter, Susan, and Lucy. And they find this magical wardrobe that when they go through it, they're transported into this world called Narnia. Now, when they go through that wardrobe, Narnia is in winter. There's snow on the ground. The days are dark. It's windy. It's cold. But they find out that it's winter in Narnia and has been for the last 100 years because an evil witch has cursed the land. Now, can you imagine 100 years of winter? But it gets worse. They find out that it's always winter, but never Christmas. Man, I don't know about you guys, but the one thing that gets me through the dark days, the clouds, the constant cold and wind of December is knowing that Christmas is coming. Man, I love this time of year. Anyone else love Christmas? I love putting up that tree and sitting by its glow in my living room. I love the stockings over the fireplace. Last night, me and the family, we went driving through the neighborhoods to look at all the Christmas lights. I love that. I love the time that I get to spend with my family over Christmas. It's my favorite thing. We always have that hope to look forward to. And Christmas has this sort of afterglow to it. It lasts a little bit. And so, you know, by the time we get into the middle of January and that glow has sort of worn off, at least I know that spring is coming. There is always that hope of spring. I've never known what 100 years of winter with no hope of spring is like. I always know that someday the days will lengthen. The birds will come back. I'll be able to start convincing myself, yes, you can golf 9 holes when it's 45 degrees. There's nothing wrong with that. And before you know it, the buds are on the trees and we're out squishing around on the softball and baseball fields with the kids. Spring is here. That's the power of hope. It gets us through these dark times and dark winters. It's the confident expectation that there's something better just ahead. We've been talking about hope all month long here at Covenant Church. We've been talking about how God has placed that desire in our heart. How the prophets from the very beginning of Scripture have declared that hope is coming, that a king is coming who will save us from our sins. We've talked about how our hopes are often deferred and delayed and how we're supposed to understand, how we're supposed to react when our hopes are deferred and delayed. But today, it is my joy and my privilege to celebrate with all of you on this Christmas Eve, that night so long ago, over 2,000 years now in this little town of Bethlehem. All the way across the world where the hope that we have desired that was so long deferred, that was always declared, is finally delivered. Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem. Today we're going to read that miraculous story together. I know it's one you've heard before for most of us in here, but I'm going to ask you to engage your imaginations. For some of us, that's easier than for others. But I want you to do your best to put yourself into this story, to feel the feelings, to imagine the longings, the hope, the joy, the fear that comes along with it. Can we do that today, church? If you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 2. If not, we'll have the scriptures on the screen behind me. And this is what we read. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This is the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. We have Mary and Joseph in a strange town in Bethlehem, far away from home. Her mom's not around for the birth of her first child. There's no aunts. There's no cousins there. There's fear and there's hope, right? Put yourself, if you have ever had children, put yourself back just as that child was about to come. I can remember no greater time in my own life of fear mixing with hope, right? Do you remember that feeling? Man, I remember it vividly. In 2013, when my son Cohen was born, oh my goodness. And I thought it would be better in 2015 when Kaya was born, but no, just fear and hope. I took the time before my kids were born. I wrote out all the hopes that I had for them. I wrote them each a letter before they were born. And it was just real. I went back and I read those letters this year. I printed out Cohen's for his 10th birthday and I gave it to him and we read it together. It was a cool moment. And you know, one of the things that I wrote is kind of, it's a very David thing to write. I didn't remember writing this, but I wrote in his letter that I hope he grows up in a world where Cleveland sports don't constantly disappoint him. So anyone else's kids, you're not the only one with that hope, but I'm an idiot. But it's true. So many other hopes in there, just raw, real. And then I think about Mary and the hopes that she must have as the time comes for her to give birth. Because this was not a normal pregnancy. She was told by an angel before, you know, long before any inkling that this might happen, that she, a virgin, was going to give birth. Joseph was told that it would be the Messiah, the one who had been declared from ages past, that Mary was going to give birth to this child. An angel announcing a virgin birth. Man, that's a lot of hope and pressure. And then I was reading through this story this week and I saw Elizabeth. There was that Elizabeth incident in chapter 1. Let's go back to chapter 1 and think about this. In Luke chapter 1, Elizabeth is, well, let's just set the stage. Mary lives in a small town called Nazareth. Can you say Nazareth?
Nazareth.
Nazareth is tiny. And she is an unwed girl who's engaged, who's starting to show. And so she decides she's had enough of all the whispers behind her back, the looks in the marketplace. She decides, I'm going to get out of town and I'm going to go visit my cousin Elizabeth for a little while. Out where people don't know me, they don't know my story. I can see a friendly face. I can actually relax. I can walk through the market without fear. And so she goes to Elizabeth, her cousin Elizabeth in Zechariah's house. And it says, she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted her cousin Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. So Elizabeth was pregnant as well. So Mary says, I'm here, Elizabeth. And Elizabeth's baby kicks her, essentially, is what happens. And then Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaims with a loud cry. So Mary comes in to see Elizabeth, a friendly face. She walks in, Elizabeth gets kicked by her baby and starts yelling. Literally what happens. She starts yelling, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And Mary's got to be thinking, well, geez, thanks, Beth. I came here for a friendly face. I already know about this pressure, this expectation. There is fear already. Now Mary goes on to sing this beautiful song in the rest of chapter 1 about her hopes and her dreams. But man, there's both of those, right? She's in a strange town. Mom's not there. First child. She's been traveling. Man, if you've ever traveled with a pregnant spouse, I've gone on vacation with my wife when she was pregnant. And it's not the most enjoyable vacation. I'll just put it that way. And we rode in a Toyota Sienna, not on a donkey, all right? Mary is uncomfortable. She's alone, and now there's no room in the inn. And she settles down with this fear and this hope in her heart. Can you feel that? Can you imagine it? And then comes verse 7. She gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and she laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And that's such an anticlimactic sentence. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And I've been in that room when labor happens, when there's the pain, there's the fear, there's the blood, there's pain, there's screaming. That's, man, Mary undergoes all of that. But remember the moment afterwards, right? When you see your child, all of that just goes away. And there's joy. I imagine Mary sitting there holding this child, having a moment of quiet to reflect as her baby sleeps in her arms, to think back to all the hopes that have been declared over and over through the scriptures, the prophecy about this coming Messiah. She's heard it her whole life. And I wonder if these prophecies are replaying in her mind, prophecies like Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Mary, who knows about this virgin birth, looks down at this child in her arms and thinks, Emmanuel. That word means God with us. She looks in her arms at this baby sleeping and thinks, this is God. Maybe Micah chapter 5, verse 2 runs through her mind. Oh, you, Bethlehem Ephrath, you who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Do you think she's thinking about passing that welcome to Bethlehem sign on the donkey and thinking, oh man, I'm going into labor? Or maybe it's the passage that Dylan read, that we see in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. As she looks down at this child and she counts his fingers and toes, she thinks, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of the government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. Man, can you imagine it? Maybe she thought to herself about Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Which says that the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelled in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. For Mary, maybe she looked up at this bright star, and then she looked down at her child and she thinks to herself, man, before this child, we've all walked in darkness. The darkness of our own sinfulness, the darkness of our separation between us and the God who created us. You see, the Bible says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, and yet we are dark. We have sin. For Mary and Joseph, this was anticlimactic. It's just a birth in a manger, but not for everyone. You see, there were shepherds nearby in Bethlehem. Put yourself in their shoes. They're watching their sheep on a hill, and tonight is a night like every other night. And then in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. All of a sudden, out of the darkness comes this bright light, the glory of God shining around you, and then the angel begins to speak, and he says to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And then suddenly all around is a multitude of angels of the heavenly hosts singing, praising, glorifying God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. of the world has come into the world. This hope that was so long promised, the hope that our hearts longed for, the hope that was declared by the prophets, the hope that was delayed for so many years is now here. Hope has a name, and it's the name of Jesus Christ. And that child would grow up to have a ministry and to live a life. He was crucified for our sins. He was buried and then he was resurrected from the grave. And that same God who promised that a Savior would come and delivered on that promise now makes a promise to each and every one of us that anyone and everyone who would call upon the name of the Lord can receive salvation, no longer to walk in darkness, but instead to have light. Hope has a name. Hope, our hearts long for it. The prophets declared it, the angels announced it, the multitudes sang about it, and these shepherds see it. They're surrounded by it in a dark night. And then we read in verse 15, the angels, they went away from the shepherds and back into heaven. One minute, song, light, sound, multitudes of angels. That word multitude, they use that word when there's so many you can't even count them. In the middle of a dark Bethlehem night on the hillside with these shepherds, there is the glory of the Lord and the songs of angels. In the next minute, nothing. Put yourself in the shoes of those shepherds, won't you? Imagine what that must have felt like. The last thing that I want you to see tonight is that on this night, these shepherds experienced something that we experience often. We have this encounter with God. Maybe for you, it happened when you were a young child. Maybe it happened last Christmas or at an Easter service or whatever that moment is, and it feels like God is so close to you, that the glory of God surrounds you, that you are certain, that you know he's there. And the next moment, it's like the angels go away and it's just you and life. And you never intended it to be this way, but it feels like you're once again just in the darkness. I want you to see what the angels did in this moment, what the shepherds did when the angels left them in this moment. We see this in verse 15, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. You see, we can learn from these shepherds. And the message that I have to you today is simple. No matter where you are in your walk with Christ, you can always go to Jesus. When the night is darkest, go to Jesus. What you'll find is the light of the world. Scriptures tells us that Jesus is this light, the one that was promised in the book of Isaiah. And as you gaze upon the light of the world, there's something interesting that's going to happen. That light, that hope, it's going to begin to spread. And if you've experienced that light, if you've seen that light, if you've felt that light, I want to encourage you to turn on that light this morning, right here where you are, and look around and watch as it spreads. You see, this is exactly what the shepherds began to do when they met Jesus. The rest of the story says this: they saw Jesus, and then they made known the saying that had been told to him concerning the child. And all who heard it, they wondered at what the shepherds told them. Mary treasured up all these things, pondered them in her heart, but the shepherds, they returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard as it had been told to them. I want to invite you to stand right now. You see, light is a funny thing because it spreads. And when you share the hope and the light of Jesus, just like the shepherds did, it says that all were amazed. And they returned and they were glorifying and praising God because they got to experience the light of the world that had come into the world. This Christmas and beyond, I want you to know that in Christ you have a light that spreads. You have a hope that spreads. This hope that was our deepest desire, that the prophets declared, that had been so long delayed, was finally delivered. Go to that light. Let's sing this song to end our service together today.